Well, as we turn to our Bibles this morning, good morning, one and all.
Morning.
Lovely sunny morning it is too, and I hope you're feeling equally sunny as we turn to God's Word. If we believe it, you know, it will make us sunny. For the Bible is a light, and it shines into our hearts, shows us the glories of the Lord, and the blessed future that belongs to each one who is saved. Well, we're turning to Exodus, the chapter 20, and we're at the verse 15 this morning, which is the 8th commandment. And again, it's a short little commandment. And I've told you before, God can say an awful lot in only a few words. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not steal. You know, boys and girls, I was reminded even this morning as I was getting ready for the assembly here, how that the gospel enforces and sets forth these commandments. A lot of people feel, oh, the Old Testament is a separate revelation from God, and the New Testament, why, it's quite different. But you would be wrong if you think that. The New Testament, I think I can use this phrase, is an echo of the Old Testament. What was said in the Old Testament is said again in the New Testament. For instance, what we have just read there is echoed in Ephesians 4 and the verse 28. If you were to look at Ephesians chapter 4 and the verse 28, you would read this. It states very clearly that him that stole, steal no more. Let him that stole, steal no more. And that's basically what you have in Exodus. It tells us that God's command is, thou shalt not steal. Now, there are many forms of stealing, many ways in which we can break this commandment. You might think, I never steal. I would never take something that doesn't belong to me. But are you sure? Because, as I say, there are many ways of stealing. The Hebrew word here means to carry away. Carry away. And that gives you a mental picture of someone sneaking in, taking that which doesn't belong to them and carrying it away. So that they can have it. They can use it. They can enjoy it. And that's what God is saying here. Thou shalt not carry away that which doesn't belong to you. So let's give a thought to this morning. First and foremost, there's a positive side as well as a negative side to this commandment. In other words, it's telling us what we should do as well as telling us what we shouldn't do. When it says we should not steal from others, take that which belongs to others, rob others, it obviously means that we should seek to help, to aid, to support, to enrich, to give to others. Always remember that every penny that you have, or every 5p piece that you have, or even every pound that you have, has two sides. There's two sides to every coin, and there are two sides, very often, to the commandments of God. And as I say, you have a positive and a negative. And the positive side is, boys and girls, that we are to reach out to help others. Rather than take from them, we are to give to them. Listen to what we read in Leviticus chapter 25 and the verse 35. And if thy brother be waxen poor and fallen in decay with thee, then thou shalt relieve him, yea, though he be a stranger and a sojourner, that he may live with thee. So, when you see someone in distress, you're to come to their aid. Now that is the positive side of this commandment. Thou shalt not steal. Instead, thou shalt give, help, support, come to the aid of those who are in need. In the New Testament, Paul wrote to the Philippians in the chapter 2 and the verse 4. And there he said, look not every man on his own things. In other words, don't just be concerned about your own possessions and think only of yourself, but rather, as Paul says, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Look out for others. Be concerned about them every bit as much as you would be concerned about yourself. Wouldn't this be a very wonderful world if that was carried out? I have read of how there have been cases where someone, amidst the crowd on a pavement, walking back and forth, someone takes ill, collapses down, lying on the pavement. People just keep on. Don't stop. Maybe look at them. But walk on. Why? Because they're interested only in themselves. They're going to work and they want to go to work and get there in time. Or they're going shopping and they want to get to the shop.
No time
to consider this poor person who's fallen ill. Now that is common. There are many instances in which a like spirit is manifested. There have been people set upon by thugs, oftentimes very young thugs, and they're getting severely beaten. Might even be an elderly person, an elderly lady, and they're getting beaten or robbed, and people just walk on past. They're not concerned. Whereas Paul is telling us here, look not every man on his own things. Don't be so caught up with your own interests that you forget entirely the welfare and the interest of those around. Leviticus 19 and the verse 18 tells us that thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And that is written in there to that commandment. Thou shalt not steal. You shouldn't take from your neighbor. But you should love your neighbor, and if you love your neighbor, you're not going to take from them. That which belongs to them, which they need, which they delight in, and take it for yourself. That's the negative side. The Lord wants us to look out for one another. Do you think of that in school? Do you? Do you give consideration to others? I hope you do. Then the other side of the coin, the negative side of this commandment, is simply, we are not to deprive our neighbor of that which rightly belongs to them. A bully does that. A bully deprives the one they are bullying of peace, happiness, contentment. By their bullying, they make that person frightened. They take away any pleasure they may be having at that time. They rob them. Thou shalt not steal. And that would include something like bullying. Pushing the person who's smaller out of our way. You're robbing them. Because by doing that, you've annoyed them, you've vexed them, you've frightened them, you've upset them. And you've taken away from them that which they had every right to. Contentment, happiness. You've deprived them just by pushing them, bullying them. Now, I could illustrate this, I suppose, by many, many instances, but I wouldn't have time. But let me just list some things by which you may steal. You may break God's command. It's not just a matter of unlawfully taking the property of someone. That, of course, is right there at the very surface of this commandment. Thou shalt not steal. You're not to take what doesn't belong to you. But you can have stealing in dishonest business dealing. All the time out there in the business world, there are dishonest business dealings. It's a constant feature of news reports of how big companies are overcharging. Charging those who are buying their services far more than they should. That's stealing. If you go in to the grocery store and you buy an item and you say, boy, that's an awful price. The chances are the store is putting upon that product a profit for themselves as far in excess of what it should be. And they're stealing from you. And that can happen in every form of business dealing. Deal by doing that which is dishonest in your business affairs. Failing to fulfill our duty in employment. If you're employed to start work at 9 o'clock and you start at 9:15, you have stolen. Because at the end of the week you expect your full wage and you're going to get paid for time you weren't there. Time that you stole from your employer. And that happens all the time. People go out to lunch. It's supposed to be from 1 to 2. And they go out at 10 to 1 and come back at 10 past 2. They've stolen time from their employer. They haven't been honest in their dealings with employer. That happens frequently. Then again, we can steal by making claims from the government for financial aid and support that we have no right to. The most common one is people get unemployment benefits, but all the time they're working, they have a little job, and they're earning money, which they don't tell the government they earn. And the government gives them unemployment benefits, believing them to be unemployed, while all the time the person is employed, quietly, secretively, sneakily. That's dishonest. That's stealing. You're stealing from the government and thereby stealing from your neighbours, for it's your neighbours and all that live in the country who are producing the taxes by which the government pays unemployment benefit. That's happening across the country everywhere. Or there are people who claim sickness benefits. They're not sick. They're not sick. They go into the doctor and they say, "Doctor, I have an awful pain in my back." And the doctor really can't tell whether they have a pain in their back or not. But they put up a very convincing argument that, oh, they're crippled with this pain in their back. And they get benefits for that. And they don't have a pain. They're stealing. I'm sure you get the picture here. There's many benefits that the government pays out. And there are many people who claim those benefits that don't have any right to them. Now, when you grow up, leave school, go out there, you will be faced by many temptations of obtaining that which you have no right to, of obtaining that which you have to be dishonest in order to claim. And when you take those dishonest benefits, you're stealing. Just you remember, God says, "Thou shalt not steal." And then there are those who steal by taking an opportunity to exploit the ignorance of others. I'll tell you a wee story. This I witnessed myself. I went up to a scrapyard many years ago looking for a particular item. It was a bit of a petrol pipe that had broken on my car, and I went to see if I could find a piece like that in the scrapyard. And while I was in the scrapyard, an old couple, old man, an old lady, quiet, sort of looking a bit lost as they came into the scrapyard, and they were looking at a car, for the scrapyard also sold some second-hand cars. And this old pair were looking at this car, and they thought that it would just suit them. And one of those who worked at the scrapyard was talking to them and telling them about it and all the rest of it. And another worker, actually, who was the owner, he saw this happening, and he made his way over, and they just passed, and he stopped, and he said to the salesman, he says, "Don't be selling that car. I have a man coming tonight to look at it, and he's going to pay me, I can't remember now the figure he said, but let's say £1,000 for it," and just walked on. And the old pair, well, they were disappointed. "Oh, you mean we can't buy this car? Well, someone has offered £1,000 for it. If we gave you £1,200, could we have it?" And the deal was done. It was done dishonestly. To start with, there was nobody coming for that car. It wasn't worth £1,000. But by that little act of pretense by the owner, he nudged, as it were, the old man and old woman into buying the car at a price far greater than the value. That is taking advantage of the ignorance of someone. The old man, old lady, didn't know really too much about the price of cars. They depended on what they were being told. And being told a lie, they paid far too much for the car. And that scrapyard owner, he's in eternity now. He broke God's commandment. Stole from that old man and that old lady. Oh, you can break this commandment in the classroom, as well as adults breaking it every day. Let me just say one more thing. Not only is there a positive and a negative side to this commandment, but when we're conducting our affairs, living our life, and making our decisions all the time, let us be ever aware of the watching eye of God. Oh, robbery goes on all the time. Forms are filled in, as I said. People reach out and take what is not theirs while no one is watching. But God sees it all. God sees it all. Psalm 34, verse 15. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their trouble. God's watching. Not only watching upon his people to bless them, but he's watching upon the actions of all. And he's against those who do evil, who break his commandments. None escape the eye of God. There's no hiding from the eye of God. Job 34, the verse 21 says, for his eyes are upon the ways of man, and he seeth all things. There is no darkness, nor shadow of death, where the workers of iniquity may hide themselves. You can't hide from God. He's watching you right now. He knows what you're thinking. Right now. Can't hide your thoughts, never mind your action, from God. We shall give an account one day. Let me just close with a little story. One that I heard long ago, just after I was saved. And it thrilled me. Way back in the 1920s. That's 100 years ago. There was an Ulster man who had been preaching in America and other places, but who came home to Ulster and began to preach the gospel around the province. His name was W.P. Nicholson. And one of the places he preached in was Belfast. 1,000 came to his meeting. And among the thousands that attended his meetings were shipyard workers in Belfast. Belfast Shipyard back then was a much bigger place than it is today, and there were tens of thousands of men worked in the shipyard. And God moved amongst them, and they were greatly attracted to the meetings of W.P. Nicholson. In fact, on the Ravenhill Road, there is a Presbyterian church right on the corner of Ravenhill Avenue and Ravenhill Road. And there was such a crowd of shipyard workers came to the meetings, and they were pushing through the gates to get into the church. They knocked the big pillars down. They were huge. But the men were crushing in, anxious to get into the meetings, and they knocked the pillars over. But more importantly, such was the effect of the gospel upon those men, that shortly after the meetings began, something very special began to happen. Those workers in the shipyard started to bring back items, tools, things that were meant to be built into the ships they were building, furnishings, etc., etc., etc. And men had stolen these items. And God convicted them, and they began to bring them back again, telling the managers, the bosses, that we stole this and we're sorry, but we're bringing it back. And so great was the number of items being brought back that they had to set aside a shed to store the stolen item. It wasn't just one or two bits and pieces, but hundreds, thousands of stolen tools and other items the men had taken. But now they had become convicted before God that all the time what they were doing, though everybody else was doing, and even the bosses in the shipyard knew it was going on, but knew it's too difficult to try and stop it. But God stopped the men doing it, convicted them of their sin. And by the grace of God, those men turned from their stealing and restored that which they had stolen, filling, as I say, a big shed with the stolen items. What a wonderful example of what Paul said, let him that stole steal no more. That happened in hundreds and thousands of cases in Belfast way back 100 years ago. God still tells us, boys and girls, thou shalt not steal. You can steal when you take a pencil that belongs to the school or a rubber that belongs to the school. Who's going to notice? God. Oh, may the Lord apply his word to your hearts. May you become conscious of the watching eye of God. Let's bow together in prayer. Let us all pray. Oh God, what a lesson there is for us all, for me, as well as the boys and girls here today. We can steal from thee, Lord. Thou hast told us what it is we should do. By not doing it, Lord, we're stealing from thee. We don't give thee the honor, the praise, the obedience, the reverence that rightly belongs to thee. O God, may we not steal from thee or steal from anyone else. Apply your word to our hearts and give us understanding of it. Bless the school today and those even now taking exam. O God, I pray you'll draw near. Commune with those that are thine. Let them know that a friend stands beside them. Answer prayer for us. Bless the school for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen.